Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, my name's Chris Paul and I am the CEO and founder of Man on Inverclyde, a mental health charity based in Greenock in the west of Scotland. And we're bringing you this message today to raise awareness of mental health and raise awareness of our charity and how we can maybe support you, your friends or your loved ones if you need it. Now, we started off as a suicide prevention charity and we're continuing that mission. We want to break the stigma attached to mental health. We want to break the stigma attached to men's mental health, and I know that a lot of men will be listening to this podcast, so please get in touch with us via Man on Inverclyde on social media. You'll find us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. If you're not on social media and you want to get in touch with us via email, just type in support@manoninverclyde.com. Our landline here is 01475 910258. So yeah, get in touch with us if you're struggling with your own mental health or you're concerned about a friend or a family member. One of our staff members are volunteers here to support you. Thanks for listening.
Hello and welcome to The Gallant Few, live tonight on the Monday Night Show. With me tonight we've got Colin, we've got David and we've got Mason, and we're going to be talking all things Rangers. First of all, Colin, how's your weekend, mate?
Oh, what a weekend I had. Losing staunch points here, visiting my partner in Dublin. She was doing a half marathon on Saturday. She managed to time it while Rangers were playing. So in the middle of the field in Buchan County, Clare, and I was watching the game on Heathrow on my phone, cutting in and out. I managed to get a signal for the second half, but missed most of the first half. But what a gala. That was a bonus. So all in all, a good weekend, mate.
Sounds good, mate. Sounds good. Going over to the mighty David Pollock. How are we, David?
Smashing, Craig, yeah. I wish I was in County Clare for the first half on Saturday because that sounds much more fun. No, but we got the result in the end. So, yeah, good to be back on. Matters Rangers. It's close to my heart.
Perfect, big guy. And the handsome Mason, sporting the lovely new orange strip. Sporting his new tan as well, straight from where were you, Mason?
Italy, late Garda last week. Tan's wearing off though, it's just sunburn, mate, to be fair. But really, same as Davey. Pleased we got the 3 points in the end Saturday. Was wishing the season didn't come back at half one on Saturday. I was going through the motions, but the latter we got the 3 points in the end.
Nice, man. You can't hide money like Garda.
I wish, mate. I wish.
and the new tap as well, man. You're just showing off.
Listen, the orange top needs to get bought, doesn't it? You know what I mean? My name's Mason. I've got to be going in orange tops. Come on.
So, mentioning the first half, and specifically the weekend, guys, I know, Colin, you can't really comment on what you didn't see, but David, what did you make of the kind of start of the season, starting off with the first half against Livingston?
Well, the statistics, you know, of the match on Saturday kind of speak for themselves, but the first half was quite frustrating in that, you know, we were doing that horseshoe malarkey again, you know, without actually making any kind of incisive passes into the box, getting Colak involved, because that boy is clearly a striker, but he's going to be relying on the service, you know, from the midfield and from out wide. Gave the guy absolutely nothing, of course, and then we've carried on the wee habit of shooting ourselves in the foot, so, you know, which to give ourselves maybe the wake-up call, but we didn't seem to respond to that. You know, we had lots of possession. You know, the possession on Saturday, it's 83%, 17. So you kind of pretty much know how this game was going. But we need to be a wee bit more creative, a wee bit more up the tempo. But certainly in the second half, things were much better, much better. And we started to get shots on target, you know. So and then eventually we got the goals, which... You would have thought, you know, there was the wee moment, you know, oh, it's going to be one of those days. But I was quite confident that we would eventually make the breakthrough, and hey presto, we did. So, yippee doo daddy.
I was going to repeat that back. I probably wouldn't be able to get away with that one. Do you know, I was really concerned in the first half. I think, you know, Rangers water type stuff where, like, you basically catastrophise everything when it's really the first game of the season. There's a fair few players on the park that have never really properly played together in any competitive games. We're obviously trying to do new styles. I'd put it in the chat, it was the side-to-side passing, and that what you said there, David, about the lack of creativity. Nothing really going through the middle. It was side to side, and then it was crosses. But very similar to yourself, but Colak's just, you can tell he's a player. You can tell that if you give him the service, he's going to be able to get goals. Was there any kind of particular positives that you took from the first half, apart from, obviously, you said the possession?
Well, I think that we just kept at it. You know, we've got the players, the attitude of the players, you know, that was, we just kept plugging away, and, you know, and in the second half, clearly we'd sorted a few things out at half time, and it was from the get go in the second half, it looks much better. Clearly the subs make a difference. I think the five substitutions, you know, per game is going to suit Rangers, because the strength of the squad that we have, you know, Gio's got a few aces up his sleeve, you know, making wee tweaks and how the thing's going. The wee concern, you know, for me watching that on Saturday is that we're going to come up against that formation most weeks. You know, games at Ibrox and away games, you know, the numbers of, you know, where someone's going to come and have a go at Rangers is probably limited to them. So and maybe a couple of away games, you know, my Pataudry, gosh, if they ever get their arse act together. Maybe Dundee United, you know, teams who will have a go at you. But games at Ibrox, you know, I'm thinking, you know, we're getting Kilmarnock next week, and you just know already what's going to happen. Because you can see on Saturday when the Rangers are in possession of the ball, you know, in the first half, and we're doing the passes across the pitch, there's 10 of the 11 Livingston players in front of the player with the ball. You know, so we've got our work cut out. But so we need to find a way to just cut through that, and once we've done that, we'll have things will be a lot easier for Rangers. But we need to work on that. The first half looked like we'd never seen this before, but we obviously made a Scott Arfield. You saw, because I put on the chat, you know, we need runners, we need movement in the box, and it's the movement that defeats all of that, because while you're just pumping cross balls into them, they're just heading them out. You know, the Livingston defence will do that all day. You need to be smarter than that, but we eventually got there. So I was delighted with that. And it was good. I mean, it's the bus thing, eh? You wait all that time for one and then two come together. I think Livingston knew in their heart of hearts at that point that it was the ball was burst for them.
Definitely, definitely. I think as well, before I get a rocking off of Colin, who's doing the administration tonight, if anyone wants to share any comments or anything like that, just stick it in the box below, guys. More than happy to share your thoughts as we're kind of going along the pod tonight as well. Mason, over to yourself. Obviously, a lot more positive in the second half, bud.
Yeah, we I think the change at half-time made a big difference. Tillman coming on for Wright. I didn't think Wright had a good game at all. I think, again, his game went back into his shell. Probably like a lot of the forward players in the first half. To be fair, he should have got the boy sent off. The Livingston left-back should have been off. So, but yeah, Tillman made a big difference, just went in the hole. I think he's more of a natural number 10. Lawrence, as well as he done in pre-season planning there, he did for Derby play off the left. So, him as well, making his debut for us at Livingston, that's a bit of an eye-opener, isn't it? But yeah, we come out, we looked a lot better. Say Tillman, Tavernier was better. Even Kent come alive, and I thought he was really disappointing in the first half. But the big change in the second half for me is Arfield for Kamara. Something we spoke about on Thursday was, how we was going to set up in midfield, and we just don't need two number fours, number sixes away at Livingston. It's just not needed. It's far too slow, and Kamara will be someone that first name on the team sheet tomorrow, which is mental. But away at Livingston domestically, I just don't think he's the man that should be, playing for us there.
Yeah, I would totally agree. When Rangers bring in new players, particularly in the last few years, I think they've always kind of maybe struggled with the intensity and the aggression in the game. The first 10 minutes with Tillman, it was pretty evident that the guy was up for a battle. You could tell as well that he was quite eager to please the fans, which can also go against players as well, because if you try too much, it tends to obviously go against you sometimes. But I didn't see him touching the ball too much, but it was the movement that caused their defence to just get tore apart. And then, like you said, it enabled the likes of Kent to get in. A lot of comparisons are made to Aribo with Tillman. I would say that Tillman is definitely, on first viewing, a lot more direct. Aribo probably 9 times out of 10 would always turn his back on players and want to kind of try and find a pass, where it looks like Tillman wants to go for it, which is exciting, really, really exciting. And it gives us that option. But was there ever any concern in the second half, Mason, because I was certainly getting to that point where I'm going, is this going to be one of these games?
Yeah, listen, when Tillman actually misses the chance from Barisic, Barisic hits the bar and then it comes out and I don't know how he doesn't score. And obviously the offside goal, which to me, it's not inconclusive, as Andy Walker said, it's onside. So when that didn't go in, I did think, no, it's going to be one of them games. But credit to the players, they didn't stop trying, and it's a great ball from Kent for the equaliser. And then the support straight away responds, and you just felt like a goal was coming. Didn't expect it to come a minute and a half later, mind you. But, what can we say? Just running out of things to say about Tavernier, all four of us on here Thursday night, just, and then he goes and does, pulls it out of the bag. And I didn't actually, for the first time, sort of watching us away from home, and we've come back under Gio last season, we dropped points when we took the lead. I felt very comfortable. And as Davey alluded to, I think the five subs helps. Right, as soon as Ryan Jack comes on the pitch, we kept the ball for 2 or 3 minutes and he was instrumental in that. So, really pleased with the second half performance and character shown so early on.
Yeah, totally, man. I think I'd posted in the group chat as well about the reaction of particularly Lundstrom in the second goal. He went absolutely bananas. But having watched it back a few times, the full team, you could tell how much it actually properly meant to them. And I think it's obviously been drilled into the new players as well, how important it is to win every single game. Colin, I know you never seen much of it, but what was your kind of take from the game, bud?
So I did see most of the second half, and I punished myself when I rolled back to the flat. I watched the first half back as much as I could. I think second half, my biggest takeaway is, again, how good Gio and the management team are at in game changes. Mason, Dave, and yourself have all said that the subs changed. Arfield coming on for the goal, Tillman coming off at half time, even Sands coming on. I'm not going to act like a Hibs fan and celebrate a fucking pass that didn't come to anything. But see that cross field ball Sands played right to the feet of Tavernier, that was beautiful. But every sub brought something different. I think that's what I really like about the signings this summer. We've got depth in all the right areas that we needed, but everybody brings something a bit different. Tillman is something a bit different for Lawrence. You know, Matondo is obviously, he's going to add a few more skill set for Wright. And Cholak is completely different for Morelos. I'm always glass half full, but when we kicked off the second half, apart from maybe the first 5-10 minutes, I thought it was just a matter of time until Rangers got the goal. I thought Kent was excellent in the second half. He didn't stop trying. And I know we say it time and time again in this podcast that Ryan Kent, the minimum you've got to get is 110% effort. That's the difference between him and the Scott Wright, for example. When it's not working for him, he's got to go back time and time again. And he should have had 2 assists. It was a beautiful ball in for Cholak and then a dynamite ball for Arfield. As David Pollock says, it's not quite heat in the oven time yet. First game back, a few debuts, 3 points on the board, back up the road.
I'm going to use that as a talk about this call. So, see, I know it's more seen as not the Rangers' way to moan about the sins and stuff, that we leave that to the other side of Glasgow to do that and make out as if there's conspiracies and stuff. But having this as one of the last games, or it should be one of the last games with VAR, when you look back at this game, and we're looking back at maybe the first half being a bit of a kind of negative, a bit of a damp squib, but in reality, over the piece, in the first half they should be down to 10 men. And then within the first 10 minutes we should have been one each, and it's a completely different game when they're down to 10 men and you've actually scored pretty quick. One of your new players has scored an absolute screamer. One of your players that struggles with assists and getting numbers up has crossed an absolute minty ball in. How important do you think that VAR is going to be to our season in comparison to what happened last season?
I think it's going to be huge. The difficulty is that it's going to come in halfway through the season. But I think we said roughly the same thing last time. This is the time to point out the inconsistency in refereeing after we've won. And time again last season, we called out poor decision after poor decision after we've won. This isn't sour our grapes. This is calling out that the standard of refereeing is terrible up here. VAR will be huge. It will cut out so many errors and it will support referees who really do need it. And we're not asking for Rangers to be refereed any differently or to get the rub of the green. We're just asking for fair officiating. My only concern is it's still the same idiots that are going to be using VAR. And while it'll cut out a lot of errors, there'll still be a lot of stuff that they need to get right but won't. And I don't really know. I think VAR is the very first step, but I think a complete overhaul has to be looked at how you train referees, how you support them. I mean, right now, if a referee has a bad game, he gets shunned down to the Championship for like a 2-week hiatus, still gets paid, still gets good money, then back up once everybody's forgot. That's not supporting the teams. That's not supporting him. Can you imagine your work? Like, I'm in work now, you know what I mean? If my boss walked in and said, "Come, what the fuck are you doing doing a podcast?" They don't tell me to go and, like, hide for 2 weeks, you know? I get my arse handed to me, and rightly so. There's nothing like that for the refs up here.
T- To be fair, Colin's actually a doctor and one of the main, I'm only kidding, Donnie's not actually. Just put that. Davey, you've obviously followed Rangers for a wee bit longer than us pups in the podcast. See, the referee, I can only really go back to like the kind of Willie Young era, the Hugh Dallas kind of times. Was it any better back in the day, or has it just always been like? I was watching the press conference earlier, and one of the journalists actually said to Giovanni Van Bronckhorst that the fourth official had actually spoke to their captain, Livingston's captain, said make a substitution. Like, see, even if that happens in a school football team, I'm going like that. That's embarrassing, but that's actually our Premier League officiating. It's like for people looking outside, looking into your league, it must be like this is impacting, man.
Yeah, it's I'm at half hour, but I mean, there's always been, you know, the 1989 Scottish Cup final when Rangers were given a throw and Celtic took the throw and eventually scored a goal from it, and nothing happened. They took a throw which was awarded to Rangers. Roy Aiken picks up the ball, takes the throw, and the ref says play on, and they ended up scoring from it. So we've been here a long time in terms of the standard of refereeing in Scotland, but I think with the introduction of VAR, what they've always shielded themselves with, you know, is the ref's got to make an instant decision. You know, he doesn't have the benefit of replays. Well, that's gone. Now he does have the benefit of replays, you know, for, you know, the offside goal on Saturday. So their ability to hide is going to be vastly removed. Because someone who's reviewed that from several angles and has the technology to check whether he's on, so that's just disappears. So Rangers and attacking teams, I would guess, you know, will be the main beneficiaries of that. The decision, you know, to suggest that guy ought to be you know, substituted. You know, he's treading a fine line. He's be going off very soon. You want to. Giving the opposition the option to do something about it. That's for friendlies and, you know, pre-season games. That's should not exist in a competitive match. It's not the referee's job to be managing Livingston's team. So that's just a shocker. You know how he should be answerable for that. That's just that's outrageous. He's a objective bystander for these games. He doesn't get involved in team decisions, but well, clearly he does, but he shouldn't.
Yeah. Mason, for any new listeners, if you haven't already guessed, Mason's from England, if you hadn't already guessed for the accent. Mason, see down south, what's the kind of feeling on VAR at the moment? Is it something that's still welcomed, or is it seen more of a hindrance?
I still think it's not well received. It's one of them ones, though, like, you know, at the start, everyone hated it. But see when, you know, one of my mates at Tottenham or West Ham, I'll see if they get a decision from it. It's the best thing ever. See if a decision goes against it. It's the worst. And we're going to be the same. Like, you know, the thing that worries me, you know, when we score against them and, you know, the feeling you get and the euphoria, that's going to get taken away now because it happened last season against Leipzig for me. The first goal that Tavernier scores at the back post, I didn't celebrate because I thought he was offside. I just thought I was going to get ruled out, and it just killed it a little bit. So, you know, that's one thing about VAR that, you know, speaking to my mates and going through it in Europe last season. But we definitely need it. I think as the thing is with Premier League, especially, they've got money to keep improving it, and they'll make mistakes and they'll go, right, next time we're going to improve on it. But see up there, it's going to be completely different, isn't it? You know, I was reading that, so we're not going to have it in for the next Old Firm game when we go to Parkhead, but they want it in place for the time that they play us at Ibrox. And that just kind of sums it up, really, didn't it? So, you know, and talking about the two yellows that the Livingston left-back should have got, VAR can't get involved with that. So we're still going to have referees like Don Robertson just making honest mistakes. So it doesn't solve everything, but I think it definitely helps a lot.
Brilliant. Okay, dokie. So I'd mentioned there about the press conference. There was a bit to go over with the the injury front. Morelos isn't travelling. Kent isn't travelling. I think from the press conference, the main thing that I took was Conor Goldson. Conor Goldson made two statements today. Made comments the way that obviously John Souter has been criticised quite heavily in the fan media and stuff by supporters. And he also made a comment about basically this is the strongest Rangers team he's ever played in. I think he'd kind of specified it wasn't the strongest 11, it was the strongest 22. What's your kind of take on that, on the kind of comments, Colin? I know he kind of went back a bit on the fans a wee bit and gave them a bit of leniency when he said it's expected when you play for a club like Rangers. I thought they were quite strong words from the big guy.
Aye, just in the sort of comments, first of all, that's leadership. That's, you know, that's a leader stepping up, helping out somebody who's had a, like, we can't cover it up. He's had a poor debut. At the same time, we're mental to write him off. And I think that's just the nature of being a football fan. You're dealing absolutes at times. But so, well, we can't write him off. He has had a bad game, and the vice captains came out and publicly backed him. And that'll do wonders for John Souter's confidence, knowing that. Knowing that Conor Goldson and, I dare say, the rest of the team publicly have his back, because you'll be hearing it in the training ground, don't worry, John, or, you know, we've got you, blah, 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 pick yourself back up. But to go in the press conference for all to see and back him, and that's huge, and that's the stuff you get with Conor Goldson. And I like how he, I don't know if it was a wee jib or not when he says he's been written off plenty of times, so I'm glad he listens at least. But he's right. I mean, how many times have we said, right, he's done now, we need to get him to, and here he is, but he's still the biggest summer signing for most. In terms of the strongest squad that he's been playing with, that's nice to hear. That is good, and I think it's probably all what A, we're wanting to hear, and B, what we are predicting with this transfer window. This has been the first window in a long time where all the signings are realistically challenging for a first-team place, because for the last 3-4 years, Gerrard and then Gio had that core who'd been there for maybe 3 or 4 years. You know, your Tav, Goldson, Davis, Arfield, Morelos, Kent, your old reliables, McGregor. Now we've got Davies, Tillman, Cholak, Lawrence, Matondo, all of these players have come in, and I said it last week, they've come in to compete with the first team players that are there. It's no longer a given who's going to start for most of it. So it's no surprise to me that this is the strongest, like, 20-odd.
Yeah, and I think touching on the comments, Davey as well, he'd mentioned about what he's seen in the training ground, and just kind of what Colin's talking about there, it wouldn't be Conor Goldson. Conor Goldson's known for being very straight from the hip type stuff. Not going to put his name to something that is potentially going to bite him in the backside a month down the line, 2 months down the line. He get really kind of shirked at the time for the comments that he made after the Hibs game, directly after the game at Hampden. He was actually 100% spot on with what he said about the desire and stuff. And kind of looking back at that stuff, and then when he makes comments like that, it does make you kind of sit up and go, right, okay, maybe there is something to this guy. And if he's seen something, then maybe we should give him a bit of a slack.
Yeah, I mean, well, Connor's comments after that Hibs debacle at Hampden, I mean, some people reacted, you know, quite badly to, you know, he shouldn't be saying things like that. But maybe he was just speaking the truth. And you look at how the Rangers squad reacted to that, you know, and in some of the European games in particular, you know, where we've got our backs to the wall and we get out there. And I didn't see some of the problems which Conor Goldson had identified seemed to, at that point, be addressed. So, I mean, sometimes you don't want to hear it, but you should hear it because it's good for you, you know, because we can kid each other on, you know, all sweetness and light, and when it isn't, someone should say that. I mean, I'm all for Connor, you know, sticking up for his teammates and all that, but just on a general note, really, is that I'm hoping that there'll be, you know, the squad of 22, where someone who's selected for the first 11 and doesn't, you know, reach the required standard, then they get yanked and the next guy goes in who will hopefully reach the required standards. I want Giovanni to be absolutely brutal. You know, this isn't a, you know, we're all mates contest. We're in a results-driven business. You know, the Rangers fans just would not put up with that. So, I mean, there'll be occasions, you know, where there are mitigating circumstances and, you know, and we would be heartless not to take that into consideration. But if, on the whole, you know, over the longer term, we will find out what sort of level of player John Souter is and whether the jersey's too big or, you know, and things like that. That will all come to pass. But we shouldn't be... if John Souter was not capable of producing the required level of performance on Saturday, then he shouldn't have been in the first 11. If there was anything, you know, behind the scenes which would lead to a lesser performance, then we need to put someone else. We've got perfectly adequate reserves, you know, on the bench. Then they should be. I want Giovanni to be ruthless and required. And Scott Wright's one who's going to have to learn this year where he will not be protected because there are people on the bench who are as good as, if not better than he is. So he's got a big season ahead of him, Scott Wright. So we're going to find out whether he's a Rangers player or not.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, 100%. Just going over to yourself, Mason, just on his comments on the team being stronger. I know we've only played one competitive game so far. With Bassey going, Aribo going, and the players that have come in, where do you kind of stand on that from what you've seen and where it looks just now?
I think I like the comments because I think it's a big statement to say on the back of a team that just got to a Europa League final and lost two very good players to then say, well, we're stronger. And I hope we are, and say signings I hope turn out to be what we want, and it you know, we win the lot. But I think, you know, Goldson, do you remember there a few podcasts ago where we didn't sign anyone, and just before Aribo went, and we were all going, where's the new players coming in? You think Goldson wouldn't have signed a new deal for me unless Gio would have said, look, we're going to be even stronger next season. So that was, you know, I think Goldson, he would have definitely been asking what's going on. You know, this season, especially if he's going to sign for another 4 years, because he knows with the pressure. But if you do look at it and you say Bassey's a great player, you know, he's going to be a big loss. 20 million, though, for us, I think it's a great deal. But then you go and look, we've signed one of Bezita's best players at left back, he's only 21, but he's played in the Champions League. He's won leagues and won cups, which I think is so important coming to us. And played in front of really passionate fan base where the media is just like is in Scotland. So I think he, you know, reading about him as well, I think he could be turned out to be a right good signing. And also Ben Davis as well, which, you know, we've spent going to be £4 million maybe to pair Goldson, left footer. But someone that when he was at Preston was very, very good. And you don't get signed by Jurgen Klopp if you're a bad player. So, you know, you take that away and you go, yes, we've lost Bassey, but we've gone and added two quality players in two positions. Then yeah, we are stronger. And then in the midfield, you say about Tillman, Lawrence. You know, the reports about Tillman, I'm getting really excited by Tillman. And I think that he could add numbers that Joe Aribo, as good as he was last season, didn't do. So it's exciting, and the comments from Goldson today are really good, and just hopefully, you know, with a game tomorrow, they can go and back it up.
Do you know, you mentioned about a couple of things there, like the media in comparison to the Scottish media, and you went in a wee bit more depth about the players that we've signed. Do you know, I watched a wee bit of the other team from Glasgow's game at the weekend, and see when they were coming out, you know, I was going like that. Who has it signed? Because I don't see anyone. But yet, in the media, they've been hyped up as if there's been like this massive overhaul, and they've added real strength and depth to the team. But then when you look at us, we've brought in a player from Bayern Munich. We've brought in a player from this. Brought in a player that's played Premier League. Played another player, Suter, that's played with the third best team in Scotland, Scottish internationalist. And there really isn't any kind of, it's just like, Rangers have signed another player. There's not really any kind of major, Rangers are actually meaning business here. It's mad. What do you think on that, Colin?
I don't think you need to go too far to find my opinions in the mainstream media up here. They're very, very one-sided. We'll put it that way. We'll keep it fair. Family friendly tonight, because I'd be here 2 hours and give my old thoughts. But yeah, you're spot on. Like the war cry for what I've seen is Celtic have sent. It's all been about the numbers Celtic have spent. But £17 million of that has been going on keeping what they had last year. For me, I'm not really interested on how much Rangers are actually spending, because. You know, that's that. David Murray was like, yeah, wait, the Murray years, he wanted that £10 million striker. Doesn't matter who it was, just as long as it cost £10 million. Rangers are away for that. If you look at the players we've got, Tavernier was what, £250,000, brought in Alan McGregor back in a free, Conor Goldson, £2 million, Arfield in a free, Morelos was, you know, about £1 million or whatever. It doesn't matter how much money we're spending, it's that we're getting value and adding that on. So, I'm not chasing this figure. It's nice and glamorous if we spend X amount of million, but where Rangers are right now, you know, I don't want to see them getting in £23 million for Calvin Bassey and then spending £20 million on the one player. That's not where we are right now. We need to be cleverer, and we need to use the scouting network that we have done really well. So I think that's where... That's been the difference in the media report, and it's just been Rangers have brought in a number of players, but Celtic have spent X amount, whereas time will tell who's spent their money more wisely.
Yeah, definitely. Just moving on, obviously the press conference today was largely based on the game tomorrow, Champions League qualifier, which will take us to the playoff if we manage to get past Union from Belgium. There's not a huge amount known about this club. Obviously, they've came from kind of second division into first division and then managed somehow to actually really challenge for the title last season, which is remarkable when you think of the kind of standard of the... I mean, I don't watch much international football, but Belgium is one of the kind of premium teams out there with the players that they're able to produce. And when you look at any major leagues within... the world, there's Belgian players there. Davey, how do you see this going? Obviously, it's one of the ones where you are playing a team that lacks a lot of the history. And I mean, some of the teams that were playing last season, like the razzmatazz of like playing Dortmund and stuff, where you're going in and you're like, if we're able to even get a half-decent result away, I'll be happy with this, and we can somehow manage to nick it at Ibrox. This is one of these games where you're probably going to get slaughtered if you don't win comfortably away, and then if you don't do it at home. But in reality, it's actually obviously a very strong team that we're going to be coming up against.
Oh, there will be a strong team, and we only have to go back to last year when we played Malmo, you know, and how that all unfolded for us. So let that be a wee note of caution for us. So they will not be dumplings. You can bet your bottom dollar. So. You're thinking Gio and the backroom staff will have done their homework. They know exactly what they're walking into tomorrow. They've added to the squad. You know, we should be set. this game is far too important for us to be not applying ourselves 100% to the task at hand, because this is an absolutely massive game for us. I mean, on this tie alone, we will win more money by putting out USG than we will for winning the Scottish Premier League. So that's the scale of it, you know, of the difference here in terms of how important European football is for Rangers. Because, you know, Scottish football, you know, there's no getting away from it. It's a bit of a backwater. There's no money in it. So for us to continue to add to the squad and develop, and, you know, for Connor to tell us again next year that the squad has moved on and we've improved, we need access to those funds. Those funds are in Europe, so we need to deliver. The game is massive tomorrow. I've been thinking about this for a couple of weeks, you know, this game, saying, you know, this is so important for us. We must not fail here. You know, and if we do, then, you know, we'll probably drop into Europa League and we'll just kind of downgrade our expectation. But as things stand, we should be going in there 100% prepared. No excuses here, guys. We've had months to prepare for this. We knew exactly what was coming. So it's time to deliver, and we need to get to the job tomorrow. It's massive for us. As a club it is, you know, but for Gio's team as well, you know, and he's seen that, you know, from the, you know, the Bassey sales and last year's run, where that brings us, the whole thing begins to snowball. This is where we want to be. So tomorrow is just the next step in that journey.
There was a comment there, Mason, from near and far, asking whether Yilmaz should go in for Borna. Obviously, he's not had much time on the park, but where do you see that kind of going? Would you take Borna's right out? Obviously, he's a confidence player as well. Is that going to absolutely smash him, or do you go, like Davey says, and be ruthless with this?
I think if Yilmaz was in a few days earlier, I would have said absolutely. I don't think Borna played particularly well again at the weekend. First goal, Suter got a lot of stick, obviously, for letting the Livy striker turn him, but he doesn't go and attempt to win the first ball. And how many times have we seen that with Barisic over the years? I think defensively, he's pre-season as well. I just think he's been all over the shop, and he hasn't helped Suter out at all. And Suter's the one that's took most of the brunt of it. So I think Yilmaz, the money we're paying for him, the team he's coming from, you know, the potential he's got, I think he's coming in to be first choice. And I think he should be, to be honest. I think as good as Barisic has been for us, there's been a lot of times, as you said, with his confidence when it drops, cost us a lot of points, a lot of goals. And I think that, you know, listening to Gio actually on his press conference on Friday, it wouldn't actually surprise me if Yilmaz comes in straight away, because he spoke about his pre-season. He said he's ready. And I don't think Borna covered himself in glory, but, you know, it's a big ask for someone that's only been in the building for, 3 days. So I think it probably will be Borna to start tomorrow.
Yeah. I think as well, you touched on it earlier with Kamara, and said it wouldn't be a surprise if Kamara was one of the first names on the team sheet. European football obviously suits him down to a tee. Do you see any other kind of surprises in the selection tomorrow? Kind of anything that will make you wasn't expecting that?
Not really, to be honest. Obviously, Kent's not travelled, so, you know, I think Lawrence will go and play out there, and I think Tillman will start. No, I don't think Tillman will start. I think Kamara will play in the 10. Jack and Lundstrom. Jack will come back in, and right wing will be, if we've got Lawrence, will be right again. I can't really see, you know, Kolač up front. We haven't got much choice. You know, obviously, if Suter's not travelled as well, so that would be one I'd be looking at, thinking maybe, you know, that would Sands go in? But I think it's quite obvious from Sands coming in. I thought he played really well at the weekend. I've got to be honest, I've not really been struck by him, James Sands. But I think last season anyway, pre-season, he's, you know, it no surprise that he's got a, you know, a World Cup coming, which helps with all our signings apart from Yilmaz and Ben Davis. Everyone else is chomping at the bit to play in a World Cup, which is only good news for us. So, you know, I think Sands will go in, and before Ben Davis is fully fit, he might make that shirt his own.
Like, I've been following Rangers since I was 10. Proper following them, and I remember, like, going in against Maritimo and teams like Fenerbahce, and it was back during the days, like, where you would have to listen the radio. That's how far back I go back. I don't remember there ever being such a buzz about European football as what we've got just now, Colin. I don't know whether that is a combination of there's a large proportion of our support that don't see us as being fully back from what happened in 2012 until we hear that Champions League music. I think that there's obviously a huge amount that Gerrard has to play in this, where he's actually proper put in this kind of expectation where we're like, at the very least, we should be challenging for European football after Europe. Dick Advocaat wanted that year on year, didn't really deliver it much. We spent a hell of a lot of money trying to do that and trying to really kind of sit at the top table. I get a proper buzz of like, I mean, in Europa League, you come up against the odd Dortmund, you come up against the odd Porto, but if you're in the Champions League, it's like glamour ties every single week or every second week. Have you got that buzz, mate, or is it just me and Knightswood that's got that now?
No, I'm fully there with you, mate, buzzing at the prospect. You know, a dark Tuesday, Wednesday night, floodlights on the Ibrox, and you just, like, the music just burst out of nowhere as the players come down the tunnel. I remember it as well, mate. I think the good thing about where we are now is we have milestones. I don't think MD's really got in there. Well, people do. In my mind, I don't have this place where we'll be fully back when X, Y, and Z happens. For me, we are fully back, but there's always the next milestone. So when we first came back up, it was, you know, beating Celtic again, then winning the league again, finally competing in Europe, and we've more than competed in Europe. Now the next milestone is getting back in the Champions League proper. We've got scar tissue as a fan base, don't we? Even after last year, there's still that wee bit in always. It's just Rangers. This will be the time that Rangers fall at the first hurdle, because we've done that before. You seen it in 2008. Was it Kaunas we went out afterwards? So I think that's going to take a long, long time to knock out of us. Maybe even a generation. But I'm hoping it starts now. I've seen only four home nations just put Rangers have come a long way since 2012, and we need to enjoy that. We need to remember that and enjoy everything that we do. For me, everything should be that much sweeter when you remember what happened to us. Everybody wanted us dead. Everybody had us put down. So getting in the Champions League ordinarily for a Scottish club would be amazing. But where Rangers have come through in the last 10 years just elevates that wee bit more. I've got the fire in my belly, butterflies just thinking about it, man. I'm hoping I've not spoke all this in vain, and we go out and do the job tomorrow.
Yeah, and do you know, see, as you were speaking, Colin, like, the job that we've done since coming back up and properly getting off of the neck and properly turning us into a football team, a proper Rangers football team again. You look at, wasn't that long ago that a Scottish team getting into the qualifier that we're in just now would have been seen as, they were doing actually pretty well there. The fact that we have the potential of two Scottish teams being in the Champions League, multiple teams being in Europe, let's not talk about what Motherwell done the other night, it's quite funny, but the fact that Scottish football is at that point in Europe just now, it's not down to any other team other than Rangers Football Club. It's us that have actually done that. Scottish football have seen a resurgence in Europe because of us. There's teams that are getting money, that are getting publicity, they're getting players that wouldn't normally come to them, and it's because of us. Davey, a lot of people will never ever say that. A huge number of people in Scotland won't even entertain the fact that Rangers are any good for Scottish football whatsoever, but it's pretty obvious when you look at what happened in 2012, the years that we were down there, clubs were struggling financially, and then all of a sudden we're up and we're proper Rangers again, doing the stuff, and there's teams that are actually benefiting out of it again.
Well, some of the other clubs, you know, they're blinded by their hatred because they just can't bring themselves to admit it. That Hearts will have group section football this year wholly on the back of Rangers' performances the last 4 years. So, you know, getting to European competitions, you know, after Christmas in the last 4 years is what's driven it all on, all the way to the final last year. So that level of our country's coefficient is now reaping its reward in terms of getting, you know, Hearts, Motherwell, Dundee United into European competitions. But as we saw from Motherwell the other night, they will make a complete arse of it. So, but their virtue of Rangers is Rangers' performances. So and if they deny that, you know, it just lets you know who they are. We could probably script it now. You know what they'll say? It's nothing. They would argue black was white when it comes to being rational about Rangers. So I've long since given up on those guys. So no skin off my nose.
Quite right, David. There was a reason why I came to you and asked you that there. Mason, just looking at the weekend, it's a chance for the Rangers team to really bed in at Ibrox, some of the new boys to actually proper experience. There was comments about what an experience playing at Ibrox against Spurs and wait till the experience Rangers competitive. What's your thoughts on the weekend, bud?
Yeah, really looking forward to it. You know, I always like it when we start off our first game at Ibrox and that the new players get a taste of what it's all about. You know, you can just tell walking out the tunnel, they're just like, wow. But, you know, I'll be honest with you, it's hard to sort of fully think about Saturday with such a big game sort of coming up tomorrow. But I think one thing with you know, David, we were talking about it earlier with Gio, I think it'll definitely, I don't think we'll have a sort of strongest 11. I think it will be a game-by-game basis. And that's something I really like with Gio is he's not scared to pull players in and out, you know, for certain games, change the formations. I mean, we was talking about Saturday and at halftime he makes a substitution. It's right. No, if it was Gerrard was still here, I reckon it would have been another 15, 20 minutes and we wouldn't have made a change. So, yeah, looking forward to sort of, you know, being back at you guys, obviously, back at Ibrox, but, you know, watching it and something about Ibrox in the summer, it just looks, for me, you know, you can't be under the lights, but all the colours, you know, I'll be watching it hopefully in the Green Man this weekend. So I'm really looking forward to that. But, you know, get a result tomorrow and then, you know, take care of Killy on Saturday.
Colin, obviously Mason said there we've got a huge game tomorrow night. Not to detract from that, first question is, you're not in Ireland at the weekend, are you?
No, I'm back for the first home game of the season and barring disaster, like my smart card not working, which I don't know, I'll be kick-offs at 3, so I'll be there at 12:30 to make sure I get in time.
Brilliant. And Davey, are you going on Saturday, big guy? Club Deck loyal?
Absolutely. Well, as I will be for all the home matches, so it's just what we do. I mean, I don't do the away games, it's for reasons we won't go into now, but last season I was at every home game, so I'm hoping to do the same this year, you know, barring anything unforeseen. But, you know, we turn up and Gio's, for me, has given me, you know, hope, because sometimes, you know, last year and under Gerrard, you know, we struggled taking a break down teams who'd come up against, you know how they're going to play, but you know what Kamarnock are going to do. I know that, you know that, Gio knows that, and it's hopefully he's put the squad in place to just blitz them. And I think, you know, can I put on the post and the match comments on Saturday, see if we can blitz a couple of these teams, you know, when they're coming up with 10 men behind the ball. Maybe they'll try something else, but it's going to be a long season for us, you know, if they get a whiff that this is a successful strategy against Rangers. We really need to disabuse them of that notion. So when we come up against it, absolutely blutter it, and maybe they'll try something else, because at the moment it's and hopefully with the players we'll then start converting more of our chances, you know, because we had the Motherwell and Aberdeen games last season where look at Saturday, we've got 83% possession, they've got 17% possession, we've got 21 shots at goal, 6 on target, 8 corners, they've got no corners. So this is not a genuine contest. It's fairly one-sided, but yet the result was only 2-1. I'm hoping that we can convert, you know, that level of dominance in the games into some more goals and probably just a easier ride for us. And I think that will come, you know, because once the squad, you know, and Gio begins to look at his options, understands what his best options are, then I'm really looking forward to this season to see how Gio unpacks all this.
Yeah. You know, just as you were speaking there as well, see during the game when Tillman came on, it looked, like I said earlier on, it looked like the Livingston team didn't really know how to deal with another big, big player being on the park. In the season gone by, see two and three players around Kent, and it would kind of nullify Kent to a certain degree. You would see him drift in and out of the game, and he would try his hardest, but sometimes it just wouldn't come. I wonder if this season is going to be the seasons where opposition teams struggle to pick a Rangers player who to double up on, because there seems to be quite a few attacking options there, which is exciting. It's really, really exciting to be talking about. The likes of Matondo, he's not even brought up tonight. He's someone that has really excited during pre-season. Lawrence hasn't really got started yet properly, but you can tell that the amount of shots that he took at the weekend, he's not going to be just trying to pass the ball into the net. So it bodes well, especially for, like you said, the games at Ibrox where we want to be bombarding the teams. Hi guys.
I think as Mason mentioned earlier, you know, it's the numbers, you know, the assists, the goals and the assists from midfield, you know, and from the right-hand side, you know, are going to have to, we should be spreading the load. So those defences should be have the question in their head. We don't really know whether to direct our fire. Whereas you know that if you can stop Kent, you're going to stop pretty much 50% of what Rangers' attacking options are. So I'm hoping that we can come at them from a number of angles and adapt. But Gio's has proven to be quite adaptable. So I think, for me anyway, we're in capable hands.
See, just on Matondo and Kent, Craig, you mentioned that he's barely even spoke about tonight. I think he comes in tomorrow night. I'm just seeing the comments, David Tomlinson of the pod. Hope you're feeling better, David. He asked who plays instead of Kent tomorrow. I think last week in the presser, Gio said it's just a precaution that he was resting on Saturday. So for me, just linking any of what he's saying, Matondo comes in on the left for me, potentially. Maybe right or Lawrence in the other flank, whatever one that is. But that's the difference already. This time last season, it would have been shite the bedtime if Ryan Kent was out injured for a European qualifier. It's not that new, because even if Matondo doesn't play, which I think he will, we've got Lawrence, we've got Wright, potentially Tillman as well.
Yeah, exciting stuff, man. Exciting stuff. Right, just wrapping us up, guys. Mason, a wee prediction for tomorrow night?
Well, to be honest with you, I think we all got a little bit excited Thursday and predicted, what was it, 3-4s, 5s, we was going to come out the blocks, and after 4 minutes, we're 1-0 down, so might be a little bit more reserved with this one. But no, I do fancy us and the team we're playing. I think they nearly won the title last season, to be fair, but I'm pretty sure they've lost 6 or 7 key players this summer. So, you know, still be you know, tough to beat. They're playing us. I'm sure they'll be up for it. But I fancy us to go out there and go and get a result. I'm going to say 2-0 to the Teddy Bears.
First goal scorer?
First goal, sorry. I had Kolach first goal. Got that wrong, so I'll probably get this one wrong at all. I'm going to go Kolach. I'm going to keep going until he does it.
Davey, do you see any hiccups tomorrow, or is it going to be just a resounding win?
It may not be a resounding win, but any sort of win would be most welcome. So they will obviously have a go at us, which is good, I think, for Rangers' point of view. But I'm going with Mason's call, 2-0. And who scores the first goal? It matters not a jot to me, to be honest, but I'm going to pick John Lundstrom, just to give you a name. So, John Lundstrom.
Baby, big guy, that's turning into your catch. That is sticking. I'm going to put you down in my contact list as not a jot, Davey Pollock. I love it. Colin, are we going high or low with scores tomorrow?
Oh, I'm going to go for it, man. What's the point in doing a podcast if you can't get excited about it? 3-0 to the famous. just where Davey was saying there, I think USG will tank about. There's no away goal rules, no, if they can sit and try and get a draw, then nick it, Ibrox way the one goal, well, they need to come out and try and win it. And I think that Rangers, that suits Rangers down to a T. 3-0 Rangers. I'm going to go Matondo for the first goal, should he play.
Nice. Well, just to put my wee bit in, I'm going for a 2-0 Rangers win with Goldson with a header. That's my bit on the game tomorrow. But just before we wrap up as well, one of our podders, David Tomlinson, just on behalf of all the boys tonight, just wish you a speedy recovery, buddy. We're all rooting for you. And guys, my first hosting tonight, hopefully I've not bored anyone or offended anyone. I am ready to basically go in for a shower because I've been sweating the whole time, like absolutely crapping myself. But thanks to Colin for giving me the opportunity, and thanks to Davey and Mason for their phenomenal take on the weekend and the look ahead to the week ahead. But this is a total buzz getting to do this. On behalf of the Gallant Few, we are the people.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.